When I was a kid, I used to get up and do a paper round 5 o'clock in the morning, probably in Sale in East Gippsland in Victoria. So it was often minuses in winter. And I'd get up, ride a couple of k's into town, get to the newsagent, pick up my papers. Then I'd have to ride another couple of k's to get to where I had to deliver the papers, do that, sort of get home. And I did that 6 days a week, and I got paid $11 to do that and have the pleasure of doing all of that. So, but that $11, like to an 11, 12-year-old kid, was awesome because that meant I could spend it on some things that I wanted to spend because there's no way I was getting pocket money in my house, was there? Looking at my mum who's visiting this morning. With that money, I bought a lot of comics. And so I often bought different ones, but my favourite comic, without a doubt, would have to have been Superman. So I am just curious, of all the superheroes, I want you to put your hand up and I want you to tell me who, when you were growing up, when you look at all those superheroes, whether it was on TV or in comics or however you did it, who were your favourite superheroes? Hands up. Yep, Brad? Captain America?
Batman?
Who else we got? Other ones? Spider-Man? Was that Wonder Woman? Captain Marvel? Yep, awesome. I love them all. There are different ones. So, which are really good. But so today I want to... one of my brothers and I, we used to actually get these pack of cards as well, and on the cards had the superheroes, and it had like points for different characteristics, so like strength, you know, 100, you know, stamina, 85, abilities, 73, or whatever. Like, so, and then we'd like play the cards down, and it was like which superhero would beat the other superhero in a fight kind of thing. So it's like we always wanted to do it. So superheroes were something really important to me when I was growing up. And I think as part of our fantasy and our joy and want to have good stories in that, most people like got into some kind of superheroes in some kind of way. And even if they didn't do the full-on superhero stuff, they certainly had maybe other heroes that they looked up to in a way. But I found this little clip on Google, and I just liked it. So if you can read it from back there, Jesus is just talking to all the superheroes, and it's just saying... and that's how I save the world, you know. So, because of course that's what they do all the time, sort of thing. And has it become important to people nowadays, superheroes? Well, I think the answer is yes. I have loved the past 10 years of the movies that have come out and to see them. So can I have a hands up, who's actually seen any of the superhero movies in the past 10 years or so? How many people in here? So it's probably a bit over half. If you haven't, a lot of them have been made around these kind of characters. So like the Hulk and Captain America, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor, and a heap of others. And do you want to know how much it's important to the world? Well, the latest movie that came out, which was to do with the Avengers, which is a group of the heroes, has just grossed over $2.5 billion. $2.5 billion people have paid money to go and see the movies. That's not all the extra stuff that goes with it. So clearly the world enjoys the superhero story and is looking for it. So today I thought I would stop and bring that a little bit back and just look at some of those superheroes and maybe one of their characteristics that they've got that we like about them, and then compare it to someone who we probably think is a superhero. So the first picture I've got is... two people who have similar abilities. So the guy on the top in the Marvel movies, he's Thor, okay? So in Thor is supposed to be like the Norse god of thunder and lightning kind of thing. And below that, if you're into the X-Men stories, that's a picture of Storm. And she has similar abilities. So they've got the ability to bring like thunder and lightning out of nowhere, which is like comes in pretty handy when you're fighting bad guys sort of thing. But we have a different picture. Of a different guy. And I'm going to invite some of the young people up to read a Bible story.
And Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross for the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him."
Thank you. Excellent job. Okay, so first situation then. We looked at thunder and storm, bringing up thunder and lightning. Jesus is in a different situation. Is he worried about the storm? He's asleep in the boat. The disciples, they're the ones that are freaking out. It's interesting. They wake him up and they're afraid. He stands up in the middle of the storm and just rebukes the wind and the waves. Now, I've been caught outside in a storm a few times. I particularly remember one time when we were hiking up at Springbrook National Park with the girls, and we were hiking down to a waterfall, and when it was overcast, and on the way back up, the storm just hit, and it was lightning and thunder, and we were in the open on the track, and eventually we got between, I don't know if you've done the walk, but there are cliff faces almost like up for about 20 or 30 metres at one point on the track where they've cut the trail through the track, and we just stayed in the middle of that while the storm just hit, and it was lightning and thunder. It was right on top of us up there. And it would have been pretty good in that moment if I'd had the faith to just stand up and rebuke the wind and just say, "Be calm." But you know what? I didn't. But Jesus, he did. He just stands up and he says it. And at the end of it, the disciples ask the question that I think I would have asked. Who is this man? That's the first characteristic I'm looking at. Next person I'm looking at, guy on the left, his name's Dr. Strange, appropriately named. He has mystical powers, so he can do lots of different things with magic and stuff that he gets as he's like able to touch the elements of the universe kind of stuff. And in his ability, so the little shiny thing he's got in front of him, he often, it must look really funny when they make the movie because he got to stand here and do all of this, circling his hands, but in the movie it comes up with a special effect like he gets all these things come up. And he's able to do magic with these things in front of it. One of the abilities that he had was to change things. So the picture on the other side is Thor holding a mug of beer, because at first during the movie he holds a cup of tea that Doctor Strange gives him, and he just basically says Thor doesn't drink tea. So Doctor Strange just makes it into a mug of beer. So sounds similar to a story in the Bible coming up. But Doctor Strange is also able to move between places by using his magic, so he can go from one place to the next, or even from one dimension to the next. So if we take again a look at Jesus, the one on the left, did he move from one dimension to the next? Well, yeah, he did. When we understand who Jesus was, who Jesus is, he was in the spiritual realms, in heaven, in perfect unity with the Father and the Spirit. But he made a choice to rescue us. And he stepped out of one reality or one dimension or one world, depending on how you want to describe it, and was able to move from that into ours with a purpose. And we were that purpose. So he has the ability to move between dimensions. When he comes here, his first miracle, we know, is the fact that he turned water into wine. And I really think this is about, you should listen to your mums, because he's there telling her, you know, it's not time for me to be revealed yet. And then his mum says, just listen to him. He'll tell you what to do. And he takes the water and gets the servants to fill it up, and they take it to the person running the wedding, and then bang, wine. So just like Doctor Strange is able to move from one dimension to the next, how he's able to take something and turn it into something else, we find that Jesus has those abilities too. So we're building a picture. This is what I'm doing. We're building a picture of who Jesus is. Next character. My wife's favourite. Wonder Woman. Well, she's got the lasso of truth. So basically, if you don't know anything about her, if she hits you with her lasso of truth, well, it's like an interrogation method. She gets it with you. She wraps it around you. You've got to speak the truth no matter what you are doing. It's one of her things. Jesus claims he is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no falsehood in Christ. How many times do you remember he used to say, well, depending on your version that you read in the Bible, truly I tell you, or verily I tell you, or I tell you the truth. Okay, because what he did was wanted to pass on a message. He could not lie, because God cannot lie. So Jesus has this ability not only to be the truth, but I guess us to examine ourselves about what is the truth and for ourselves and about what we need. So Wonder Woman, she can find out the truth, what Jesus he actually is. Now on the left here, up the top, okay, Dennis got Spider-Man for you. And down the bottom, I've got a guy called Professor X. He was in the X-Men. He's got the ability, what's called telepathy. So he can read people's minds. Spider-Man, one of his special abilities is the ability to sense when something is wrong. And so I just grabbed a Bible verse that said, but Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Superheroes with an ability to know what people were thinking, to know when trouble is brewing. Do you remember those little stories throughout the Gospels where Jesus is with all the people? And suddenly it talks about there's that verse that just says, and he knew what they were thinking. And he sensed people were trouble. It was trouble. Or they were trying to kill him and somehow he slipped away. This is the same Jesus. The ability that they have as superheroes, so does Jesus. So does this person that we come to church to follow. We had this quirky character called Ant-Man. Now, Ant-Man's got a few different abilities. He can go small, but one of the things that he can do is actually get ants to do what he wants. Now, he does it a bit through technology, but the ants help him, whether he's flying or whether they're building something for him or helping him out. The ants do some great stuff. He's able to tell them and speak to the ants. Well, Jesus, I think in a way he can speak to fish. Well, you think, oh, okay, am I drawing a long bow here? Maybe I am. But the point was this. There are two times in Peter's life that Jesus had this that Peter had this experience with Jesus. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, you know, Peter gets for the first time, Jesus comes into the boat and he's caught nothing. And Peter is wondering what's going on. And then Jesus says, just chuck the net over the other side. And so he does. And he pulls in such a load. And when he does, I think for Peter, for the first time, he recognized something, because he'd seen this guy Jesus a little bit about, but for 400 years or longer, really, like, the nation of Israel had been waiting for the Messiah to come, the Holy One, the one specially sent from God who was going to be their Savior. The whole nation was waiting for him. I don't know how it must have been like after so long, whether it felt like it was just a story about maybe one day it'll happen. But when Jesus talks to the fish and they all get into that net and he hauls it into that boat, Peter looks at him, and in that moment, Peter looks into his eyes and Peter's words, I am a sinful man, get away from me. They may have just been fish to some person, but to Peter, it was a revelation about who Christ really was, about who Jesus really is. And what I love about the story about the fish, he doesn't do it once. Go to the end of the ministry, and in the last chapter of John in the Gospel, the disciples have gone back to fishing. And again, they've caught nothing all night. And someone walks along the shore and yells out, hey, chuck the nets on the other side of the boat. What have we got to lose? So they do. And what happens? Jesus talks to the fish. They all jump in that net. And they pull in the big load. And suddenly, John recognizes that it's Jesus on the shore. And how keen was Peter to get to him? Because he puts his jacket back on, jumps in the water and goes there. So yeah, I'm drawing a long bow saying Jesus talks to fish. But it's helping us to point out who he is, because that's who Peter really, like, understood in those moments. Jesus is not just your ordinary man who's come. He's not just a teacher who's got stuff to say. He is not just some prophet that has got a message from God. Okay? It's building our picture of who Jesus is. There's a guy called the Flash. Now, the guy can run really quickly, sort of thing. So Usain Bolt's got nothing on the Flash. He can run very fast. And he can run so fast that he can even run across the water. So I think that, is that my next story? I think I've got that, walking on the water. Who's doing that one? Yep, thank you, if you want to come up.
Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. He went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, and a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." When he climbed into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed.
Again, it's a moment where the disciples freak out, which I would too. He had gone up to pray and he sent them off across the lake. And in the middle of the night, when things are dark, they suddenly have this experience that would freak any of us out, where you see in the distance, in the dark light, someone's coming across. And no wonder they said it was a ghost. Like, I get that. But what we understand suddenly is this was Jesus again, doing something that you and I would go, it's just not possible. We're building a picture. We're finding out who this Jesus is. A characteristic of a superhero. Again, Jesus is doing it. Each one of these things that we're looking at in these superheroes that the world sees that in our comics and in our stories and in our movies, in real life, they're written in the Gospels for us. Next one. Up in the top left-hand corner, we've got a guy called Rocket. He's from a comic called Guardians of the Galaxies, and it's in the big last movie. So if you've ever watched the movies, he's a funny character because he's been enhanced to bring to life. He's basically a raccoon that is brought to life. But he's, like, super intelligent. So he's able to design stuff and make stuff and build stuff. And one of the things that he did, at one point, Thor loses his eye. So he basically gives him a new eye so that he can see again. So he goes from wearing an eye patch to being able to have two eyes back again. So Rocket, he's pretty smart. He's able to give someone back their sight. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back again to the Gospels. Let's take a look at the man who walked along the road and had a beggar call out to him. Because you imagine being blind. Go back to those days. There was no Centrelink to help you out with payments. There was no blind society to help you and support you and do all those things. There was no braille system for you to be able to read. You sat on the side of the road and you hoped, as you put your hands out, that someone would put a coin in. Just one, that'd be enough. Just so you can buy some food. You were helpless. If your family did not look after you or couldn't afford to look after you, you had to sit out on the street and beg. And we read it in the gospel so many times about how Jesus healed a blind man. But imagine the difference in life. We don't always stop and realize the human impact of what that meant for the person that was healed. They went from darkness into light in two ways. Because Jesus gave them the gift when he healed them. Our picture of who he is continues. Right. And we have a bad guy up in the corner. That's Thor's half-brother, if you can't see. His name's Loki. Now, it's really hard to see the picture down the bottom, but the blue bit, I'll point it out a bit. The blue bit is like this crystal thing in a scepter, and he's touching the heart of one of the good guys in the movie. And what he does is when he touches him with it, it changes his heart. It changes him from good to bad. And he uses that power to do it through that weapon, that technology, the way that he uses it. The ability to change someone from good to bad, that's what the bad guys would do. In there, I've just got a picture of Jesus. It's quite dark, sorry. And there's a man on the ground. But that is a man who is taking from darkness to light. A man who has been affected by Satan, by demons, and of course the effect that goes with that. And Jesus freed him of that. So the opposite of what we see in the movies through the scepter and the jewel. We see Jesus taking someone from darkness to light. Again, we keep building our picture. Next one. At the top there, we've got Bruce Banner, and down the bottom is the Hulk. So if you don't know anything about movies, Bruce Banner is the human side of it, and then he becomes the Hulk. But I actually want to focus on Bruce Banner for a sec, because he's probably, him and Iron Man would argue about who's the smartest Avenger or smartest superhero, because this guy's got 7 PhDs. Now, I've got 2 degrees, but that's nothing on 7 PhDs. He's smart, okay? But Jesus, what did they say? Now we can see that you know all things. So this is the disciples during the Last Supper. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Some people are really smart. Jesus knew everything. It's interesting that the disciples had to keep learning this stuff along the way. And they saw everything every day that we don't. We're building a picture. Who is he? We're nearly at the end of them. Okay. In the top left-hand corner, you have a character called Wolverine. He'd been shot a number of times, and in the picture it's a bit dark. Sorry, there are dots in his chest. After he's been shot, he'll go down, but then he has these amazing abilities to heal and come back up. So after he gets shot a few times, he keeps going. Jesus went to the cross. And I love this picture from a movie where he reaches out and you see, he turns his hand in the movie and you see the hole in his hand. His regenerative abilities go way beyond just getting hurt. He died. And he came back to life. And I now get the third reading done. Thanks, Tony.
Comes from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 7. Early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead."
Our picture is almost complete. Was anyone here born in 1938? I know I'm drawing a long boat. You have the same birth year as Superman. 1938 was the first time he came in. But one of the things about Superman is we know he saved the world. You see the cross? You're getting the point. You're understanding the picture. This is our superhero. He saved the world. And then the last one, Brad's favourite, he makes a comment in one of the movies, Captain America, and he goes, "There's only one God, man." There's another line after that, but I'm not going to do that. He just goes, "There is only one God, man," when he's talking to someone. Jesus is God. Let there be no doubt. This is why we worship. This is why we worship him. He is not separate from the Father. Let's look at some Bible verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is eternal. He was there at the very start. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Christ became the baby, became the man. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." Don't ever misunderstand this. Jesus is God. This is why we worship him. Next one, please. It's interesting that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Now, the big mistake the church often talks about when thinking when Jesus is referring himself to the Son of Man is actually that he's referring to his humanity. He's not. A correct interpretation, when Jesus was speaking in the culture to the people that he was speaking at, when he was saying to himself, to everybody else, that he was the Son of Man, he was actually declaring that he was God. Get the picture from Daniel. It says, "In my vision at night, I looked and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The Jewish people understood that's who the Son of Man was. And who can be worshipped but only God? And the Jewish people knew that. So when Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, all throughout the Gospels, he was telling them that he is God, and that is why they reacted so strongly to what he was saying. Over 80 times it's referred to in the New Testament. Next one. That's why we're not stoning you, said the people, for any good work that you've done. They replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. That's why they went after him. They understood fully when they read, I am the Son of Man, that he was claiming to be God. You go into Colossians and Paul talks about it. For all in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In Philippians 2:5-6, you must have the same attribute that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God was something to be grasped onto. And then you get Thomas. We know the guy that doubted, even after he'd seen everything. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Then Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. He got it. Then the last lot of Bible verses. You see, people worship their superheroes. How much money people spend on their money to go and see things and have their stuff and big things like Comic-Con, which are big gatherings that people get together and dress up like they're superheroes. People love it. People worship them. It's real. But only God deserves our true worship. Jesus was worshipped. You go back to when he first came down in Matthew when he was born. After he was born in Bethlehem, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. You only worship God. And then at the end, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. The Jesus that we come to, worship every week, is God. He is the God who was there at the beginning before the creation of the world and created it. He is the one that healed the blind man, that walked on the water, that rose from the dead, that knew what people were thinking. This is our God. This is why we worship. This is why we come to church, not for a particular pastor up the front who's leading it, not just for the people that we get to hang out with, but that's the blessing that God created for it. But we come to worship God. Thank you. Then give thanks for the joy that you have going at the moment. If things are tough, hold your hope in the God that we worship every single day, our Lord Jesus Christ. Be blessed this week as you go out and face the week together.